grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, you know that we cannot place our trust in our own powers. As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated.
Reading from Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift up their voices. Together they sing for joy, for in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our Lord. The word of the Lord. Let us pray Psalm 148 responsively. Alleluia, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise God in the heights.
Praise the Lord, all angels.
Praise the Lord, sun and moon, sing praise, all you shining stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord who commanded and they were created. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps.
Fire,
mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars.
Wild beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds.
Sovereigns of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the world.
Then
praise the name of the Lord, whose name only is exalted, whose splendor is over earth and heaven. The second reading is from Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is in search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to that time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in the town of Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord.
Well, this is not the story that you want to hear on the fifth Sunday of Christmas. Couldn't we do with one more telling of a baby lying in a manger and shepherds and messengers and the little manger? We could probably do with hearing that story one more time, but not Matthew. Matthew tells it grittier, more realistic. And I guess that's the main value of the story that we have on this first Sunday of Christmas. Because the thing is, Jesus' birth flipped everything upside down. The order is all upset. Jesus comes as God's chosen king, the one who is to bring about peace and justice and equity. All the earthly kings who put their own power and their own privilege first are scared stiff. In this upside-down kingdom, the powerful ruler is terrified by a helpless baby. Look at Herod. He is so terrified of the promise that God would restore peace and justice that he was willing to slaughter innocents, the infants of the whole region. Matthew has told us about earlier dreams that Joseph had, and he gives us now another account of another dream. And again, Joseph pays attention to his dreams. In his first dream, he was told to take Mary as his wife, and he did that. And he was told to name the child Jesus, and he did that. And now an angel tells him in a dream to take Mary and Jesus and run for their lives, for Jesus' life. Joseph pays attention to his dream, and he escapes the massacre by running into Egypt. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay, now a refugee in a foreign country. I hate it when our contemporary world makes stories like this so plausible. We only need to turn on the news to hear of wholesale massacre and night flights for safety. How many families are being dislocated in Syria right now? How many churches in Nairobi and other parts of the world as well are empty this morning for fear of terrorist acts of violence against Christians? How many children and their families in refugee camps around the world are starving to death, even as we bemoan the extra pounds that we've gained in this holiday feasting? How many families and how many children, some very near to us, some under our own roofs, have their own private hardships and sorrows, pains and addictions that seem all the worse, all the more exaggerated because of the expectations that we have for a perfect holiday season. So while the story that Matthew tells is dark and difficult, it isn't one bit far-fetched. And that's why he tells it. To let us know that in Jesus, God did draw near to us. God slipped through the darkness of our reality to be Emmanuel, God with us. He came to live like us, taking on our life, experiencing what we experience, fear, violence, pain and sorrow, even death. All this so that we would know that we are not alone. Sometimes life is beautiful and wonderful and filled with goodness and grace, and God is part of that, giving blessing and celebrating with us and for us. And sometimes life is not so beautiful and wonderful, but rather disappointing and filled with heartache. And God is part of that, holding us, comforting us, blessing us with the promise that God will stay with us through good and bad, drawing us to be even more into God's loving embrace, promising that nothing, not even death, will separate us from God. Last year, after the shootings at Sandy Hook Elementary School, someone found this quote from Mr. Rogers, and it gave good solace to people. Mr. Rogers said, "When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news. My mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" There is truth and promise in that statement, and it helps our hearts to know the truth of these biblical stories. Where there's suffering, Jesus is. Where Jesus is, his body, the church, is there as well. The people of God are comforting and healing, bandaging, protecting, soothing. They are the helpers. They are the angels. We are the helpers. We are the angels. We are the ones who are putting our hands to God's work in this broken world today. The Christmas story begins with the birth of a child, but it doesn't end until this child has grown up, preached God's message of mercy and love, been crucified and died, and then raised again. And it doesn't end then. It doesn't really end until Jesus draws each one of us into that same story, raising us to a new life, even in the midst of the difficult realities that we face right here and now. I guess we do need to hear Matthew's gospel today. We need to hear it because it tells us a truth, the sometimes difficult truth of unjust rulers, of private grief and personal pain, the truth of the realities of life. But it also tells the always hopeful truth that God has not stood back at a distance. In Jesus, God has entered into our story, and God is working right here, right now, to grant us new life that we might flourish and experience resurrection in joy and in courage in our daily lives, and then share that hope with others. Whether things are going pretty well for you right now, or if your life isn't so great, look for the helpers. Trust in the promise that you have been marked with the cross of Christ and sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, today, and forever. Amen.